This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, March 1st. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll look at the lasting effects of all that salt dumped on the roads to get rid of snow. And a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Some rain coming in today and in through the weekend. But first, today's news. The CEO of Ameren's Illinois Utilities says he remains willing to work with lawmakers on a better plan for providing relief from higher electric bills, including a phase-in of rates. But Scott Sissel calls a $35 million relief package the most the company can invest to assist customers. He unveiled the plan before a marathon session with Illinois House lawmakers Tuesday night. Sissel says while the rate freeze was still in effect, Ameren was willing to work on a constructive transition period before the new rates started this year. He says a phase-in was possible, provided certain elements were in that package. But Sissel says there wasn't any traction from the legislature to reach that approach. He says Ameren is still willing to work on such an idea as long as the company can recoup the cost of generating power.
And if there's a way we can do that, where we are insured the recovery of those power supply costs, and if there's a way we can help customers phase in, if you would, into this full competition scenario for the power supply cost, we're more than willing to do that. But we also have limited financial capability to agree to participate in any such program.
Highlights of the 8-point proposal include letting customers defer part of their payments without owing interest and changes in the way rates are calculated for all electric customers. Ameren is spending a total of $20 million for the bill credit. Sissel says the plan is the best the company can do to maintain its financial investment rating. Portions of it require approval from the Illinois Commerce Commission. Two Champaign men were arrested yesterday, accused of abducting a student from the grounds of Edison Middle School just before classes started. Police say the 15-year-old was taken around 7. They say 35-year-old Danny Lyons and 24-year-old James Cox beat the teen and forced him into a vehicle, which police soon stopped. They freed the boy, who was not seriously hurt, and he later returned to school. Police say the incident stemmed from an outside manner among the three not involving school. Edison officials are asking parents not to drop off their kids before 7:30, when staff supervision at the school begins. A building in Urbana that's been best known for construction delays, politics, and legal wrangling is now serving its intended purpose as the Champaign County Nursing Home. AM 580's Tom Rogers visited as the home opened to residents for the first time.
Moving day was rather quick. It began yesterday morning and was done by lunchtime, even with 190 people encountering new surroundings. Many of them had the help of family members and volunteers, like Sandy Burr, who helped her mother-in-law, Elizabeth Burr. They say it'll be a learning experience because Elizabeth is moving into a double room for the first time, but that beats having to negotiate the narrow, sloping hallways of the old home.
Oh, it's going up and down hills all the time.
Mm-hmm. And the only thing she's moved.
Yeah, the only thing she's lacking in the other one, she had her own room. Here she's sharing, but she has a very nice roommate.
I don't mind the sharing, yeah. But I miss my lift chair I had to sit in.
Some residents won't have quite as much space as before because of the new double room arrangement. Activities Director Tracy Hayden says about 20 residents are moving in with roommates for the first time, but the transition should be smooth.
Most of them know one another and have socialized and activities are in the dining room together, and that's how they decided on their roommate.
The rooms are bigger and airier, as are the common areas, and everything's on one floor. The $24 million facility took a year longer than expected to build and was beset by cost overruns related to mold in the woodwork and heating system problems. County officials are still hashing out who will pay the extra cost. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
She's called both the peace mom and un-American. Anti-war activist Cindy Sheehan is speaking today at the University of Illinois' Urbana-Champaign campus. Her talk at the U of I is titled Changing the World, Students Bonding Over Common Ideals. It's the keynote address at a student activist conference. She and son Casey was killed in Iraq in April 2004. She made a national name for herself when she camped outside President Bush's ranch in Crawford, Texas, to protest the war. The California native's visits have created waves in some places. A few school officials and alumni at Missouri's Drury University have said they don't want her as a speaker for this spring's graduation ceremony. They've called her views unpatriotic and un-American. Sheehan's U of I address is at 7 tonight at the Natural History Building. Illinois could soon place several new restrictions on teen drivers. Supporters say it would make roads safer, but others question how far the state should go. Sean Crawford has more.
Secretary of State Jesse White says too many young people are dying in car accidents, and he says the state can do more to prevent that from happening. White is pushing a legislative package that would, among other changes, triple the driving permit phase before getting a license and set an earlier curfew. White says teen driving safety is a growing problem.
And that's why we're involving the school districts, the teachers, and the young person to do more so they can get from point A to point B in a safe and responsible manner.
But some in the Illinois General Assembly say the limits might be going too far. Rushville Democratic Senator John Sullivan.
This legislation is taking away my right as a parent. You're telling me what time that son or daughter has to be home unless I want to go pick them up.
In the last year for which numbers are available, more than 260 teens died in car accidents in Illinois. Those backing this legislation say if approved, it would be among the toughest in the nation. I'm Sean Crawford.
For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. Each year, about 118,000 people are hurt and 1,300 people are killed on the roads during snowy and icy conditions. So snowplows hit the roads, scraping snow and ice off the surface and spreading incredible amounts of salt on highways, streets, and roads to help keep them clear. The Environment Report's Lester Graham reports there's some concern about the long-term effects of all that salt.
This dump truck is getting ready for a load of salt for a coming winter storm. Salt helps make the icy roads safer. It helps prevent people from slipping and falling on sidewalks. And it's pretty cheap. But there are problems with salt. Salt pollutes, and salt corrodes. Mark Cornwell has spent a good deal of his career trying to convince highway crews that there are better ways to keep things safe and reduce how much salt is dumped on roads and sidewalks.
Salt damages just about everything that comes in contact with. And, you know, salt moves through concrete and attacks structural steel, bridges, roads, parking structures. It eats the mortar out of bricks and foundations. It damages limestone, you know, just on and on and on.
So even though salt is cheap, the damage it does costs a lot. It's a hidden cost that's seldom calculated. Imagine the cost of having to replace a bridge 5 years early because the structure is weakened by salt. And then there are your direct costs, trying to keep salt washed off your vehicle and still seeing rust attack your car. Cornwell says there are some cities and road commissioners working to reduce the amount of salt spread on the roads, but in most places, the political pressure to get the salt trucks out early and laying it on thick to keep drivers happy outweighs any concerns about trying to reduce the salt.
I'm sure the public expects full attention to snow and ice, and they have absolutely no understanding, however, of what it costs to provide that.
Nobody gave much thought to how much damage salt was causing until the last couple of decades. In a few places, the people responsible for keeping the roads and walkways safe have been trying to reduce the amount of salt they use and still keep public safety tops on the list of concerns.
This is our shops. The brine maker is right here.
Marvin Petway is showing me some of the tools in his arsenal to reduce how much salt is used and still keep things safe. He works at the University of Michigan, where there's a goal to cut the amount of salt used in winter in half. What they've learned is using innovative ways of putting down salt can actually help melt snow and ice faster. One way is to mix it with water to get the chemicals in salt working a little more quickly.
Why use 5 pounds of rock salt when you can use 2 gallons of liquid salt? Okay, we're able to get better coverage, quicker, better cost. And we're putting the material that is effective with reducing ice buildup directly to the area that we don't want ice located.
The crews trying to reduce salt use computer-assisted spreaders to measure out only the salt needed. They mix in less corrosive chemicals that help make salt brine more effective. And even just wetting the salt in dump trucks with chemicals all help to melt snow and ice faster and, in the end, use a lot less salt. Nothing's going to replace salt altogether. But those efforts can add up to a lot less salt, and that means less destruction of infrastructure. But there are more reasons for reducing salt than just damage to roadways and parking decks. Salt also damages the environment. Mark Cornwell first noticed the effects of salt because he was a horticulturalist. He'd work all spring, summer, and fall planting shrubs, making the grass green, tending beds of flowers. Then winter would come.
Unfortunately, what we were doing in 6 months of winter was undoing everything we did in the other 6 months of the year. You know, if you're going to get ahead, you got to solve the problem. And in my mind, that was misuse of salt.
Use too much salt, and it kills plants. And it turns out the cost of using all that cheap salt could be even greater than anyone guessed. For decades, it's been assumed that rain washed away most of the salt. But studies in Ontario find that a lot of the salt doesn't get washed away. Instead, a good deal of it is percolating down into shallow aquifers. Researchers predict that in the future, we'll start finding salt is getting into the groundwater that supplies many of the wells where we get our drinking water. For the Environment Report, this is Lester Graham.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, a stormy one, cloudy, windy, and milder today. Periods of rain and thunderstorms, strong to severe storms, are possible. The high 55 degrees. We'll have winds from the southeast to south at 20 to 30 miles per hour with higher gusts. Cloudy, windy, and turning colder tonight. Some rain showers possible during the evening, and then snow showers overnight. The low 27. We'll have winds from the southwest to west at 20 to 30 miles an hour. Some gusts over 40 miles an hour. Cloudy and windy with some snow showers and flurries tomorrow, the high 38 degrees, wind gusts at 25 to 35 miles per hour. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, March 1st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.